The hope of Israel, a part of the gospel message which Christ preached. Apart from a general knowledge of Jewish history and their connection with the Lord Jesus Christ, Christendom has no further interest with Israel. To suggest to them that the future restoration of the Jews is an element of the gospel message, they would laugh at you. But these are the facts revealed in the Bible. Jesus once said to his disciples, in Matthew chapter 15, he said to his disciples, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of Israel." He didn't apply it to anybody else, no other nation on the earth. He only applied it to Israel. It is obvious that this relates to the Jews. He said in Matthew 10, an earlier chapter, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, nor into any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." No other nation. The Gentiles had no part in it. Samaritans had no part in it. Only Israel. This also is substantiated in one single verse of five words. If you go to John chapter 4, the Gospel of John chapter 4. And verse 22. In verse 22, Jesus said, "Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship." Relative to the Jews, "For salvation is of the Jews." You cannot get it clearer than that. Salvation is of the Jews, and this stands today. In no other people can it be sought. You cannot go to the Gentile nations, you cannot go to any of the massive continents of the world, you can't go to the Russian people, you cannot go to the American people. Cannot go to the Arabs. You can only seek it via the Jewish nation. Now, Christendom would perhaps agree that this was the case up until the time of Jesus. But they proclaim that when they crucified Jesus, the Jews, they destroyed their only means of hope and salvation. But we are here today to relay the facts. We, the Berean Christadelphians, will show that Bible evidence clearly shows that the hope of Israel still exists. So I turn your attention then to Acts. The book of the Acts, chapter 26. Here Paul the Apostle stands before Agrippa. Herod Agrippa the Second. And in his defense, he says, in verse 6, "And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come. For which hope, sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews." What hope is Paul referring to then? You will recall that Jesus had been crucified and had been raised from the dead before Paul came in on the scene. Paul was called to apostleship. So what is Paul now being accused of? For the hope. So what hope is he referring to? Look at verse 6 again. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. You split it down. So we've now learned what the hope is. But what are the promises? The promises made of God unto our fathers. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. We reveal a little more of what the hope is about, and especially the connection with the promises made of God unto the fathers. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8 says, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, the nations of the world, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed." Now at the time of Abraham, there were no children. But we know that he did have several children. The oldest was Ishmael. The next son was Isaac. Two nations came of Abraham. From Ishmael came the Arabs. From Isaac came the Jews. Israel. In thee shall all nations be blessed. In faithful Abraham. We turn to verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Well, you could jump to the conclusion. His seed are his descendants, through Ishmael and through Isaac. Two nations. But then he goes on to say, he saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Well, let me put it to you this way then. Was Christ an Arab? No. Was Christ a Jew? Yes. So the Arabs have no part in this hope. Nor do the Gentiles have any hope. But to Israel. Because of their connection with Christ. The promises were first made of God to Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations through faith, preached before the gospel message. The gospel message comprises of the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. And in that connection are the words we read in verse 8. In thee shall all nations be blessed. Verse 29. And if he be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Three verses that clearly explain that the hope is alive. From Abraham, as they say, came two peoples, Arabs and Jews. But the promises were not made to the Arabs, as verse 16 showed. Now Paul says in Acts chapter 28, go to Acts 28. And verse 17. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you, and to speak with you. Because that, remember what we read in Romans 11, he was charged and was judged for the hope of the promise, made of God unto the fathers. And here he says again, because that for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or speak any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, here was Paul at the hearing. There came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded the gospel message, the hope of Israel, and testified the kingdom of God, persuaded them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Spirit by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. The salvation of the world is tied up in the destiny of the Jew. Now let's turn our attention to the admission of the Gentiles into the hope of Israel. And we'll find that in Acts chapter 10. The testimony relates to a certain centurion of the Italian band named Cornelius. In verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodged with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Now then, what follows in the verses are, we immediately look at Peter, where he went up onto the housetop to pray, and he had a vision. In that vision, he saw a sheet lowered down, and on that sheet were all manner of clean and unclean animals. Now, as you know, under the law, the unclean animals were never to be touched, never to be eaten. Only the clean. God explains the reason. He explains to Peter that the Gentiles would be included in the hope of Israel. Verse 28. Ye know that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Here was the inclusion then of the Gentiles into the hope of Israel. Verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. What word? The gospel word. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses. The apostles were first-hand witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, the Jews, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry 13 days. Here we have it. The Gentiles were included into the hope of Israel through faith, and faith in Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 11. Here in this particular chapter, we find Peter is accused by the Jews of going to the Gentiles. When he was expressly told by Jesus, he was only to go to the house of Israel. But again, Peter reiterates the vision that he had of that sheet, which was let down 3 times. To drive home to him, it's not just the Jews, but all who embrace the Jewish hope. All who embrace the Jewish hope. What was the means of salvation Peter proclaimed to the Gentiles? Let's go to the epistle in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you, Gentiles, Gentiles. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me, to you what? How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit word, that the Gentiles should become fellow heirs. Fellow heirs. With whom? With the Jewish nation. And of the same body. And partakers of his promise. God's promise unto the fathers. In Christ. By the gospel. It's all associated with the gospel, which was preached to the fathers, made of God. It is all to do with the association with the hope of Israel, which still exists today. Whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. This is the manifold purpose of God. By allowing the Gentiles to partake of the hope of Israel, they effectively become fellow heirs of all the promises of God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. At that time, they were without Christ. The Gentiles were without Christ. They were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. They once never had any hope of salvation. They were without God in the world. But when the word was preached, when we look back to the time of Peter's vision and Cornelius was called a Gentile, then, and only then, can we come within the association of the hope of Israel. Now, if you believe in the gospel, become associated with the hope of Israel, are baptized into the saving name, having an understanding of the gospel, you are no longer without Christ. You are no longer aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You are no longer strangers from the covenants of promise. You have hope. You have God. Now you are in Christ Jesus by the blood of Christ. He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, but to make in himself of twain one new man, so to make in peace, that you might be reconciled both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof. Through him we have access. This is revealed in scriptures. Paul, however, enhances a warning to the Gentiles to beware of vainglory and self-esteem. When you look at Christendom today, they are full of this vainglory and self-esteem. They've missed the point for centuries of what the gospel preaches. In his epistle to the Roman Ecclesia, we can understand what Paul means. If you turn to the introductory reading which our president read for us in Romans 11. It's a small parable, you could say, which Paul expresses some concern. He is concerned about his people. And in verse 10, let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles. Why? For to provoke them to jealousy. Why should the Gentiles have the hope of Israel? It is our promises. It is our hope. But they rejected it. But it is only to be temporary. If the fall of them be now the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh. Paul was Jewish. And he was concerned for the Jewish people. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, would graft in among them, the Gentiles brought within the Israelite stock, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, a typical emblem for Israel. Boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, Paul says, well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. But this is a warning to the Gentiles. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, the Jewish people, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but to thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Here is the hope of Israel. Here is the effect of faith. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a gold olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, but it's only temporary. Because the following word says, until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, it shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved. For whose sakes? It's clear. For the Father's sakes. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. It is clear. Verse 30. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Indeed, we see here the future restoration of Israel. They're currently in unbelief, but here is the promise, here is the hope that they'll be brought back into their own olive tree, where they will share in that glorious, the glorious promises made to our fathers. But there comes a stark warning from Paul. Be careful. Take heed. Be not high-minded, but fear God. Though the history of Israel shows that they have been a disobedient nation, though they remain scattered throughout the world, though we have seen a nation gradually grow back, they still remain a thorn in the side of many nations of the world today. They are constantly persecuted, threatened, despised for the nations around them. They become a reproach, a byword. But still this small nation remains today, as our speaker mentioned last time. It is a miracle that Israel has survived. No other nation in the world would have survived what they've gone through. It is a real miracle that we see Israel thriving today. But there is nothing that the world or the nations around them can do anything about it. Nothing can undo what God has decreed for the Jews as a nation. Go to the fifth book of the Bible, Deuteronomy, in chapter 7. We learn what is so special about Israel. And in verse 6, thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee, Israel, to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto whom? Unto the fathers. Who were the fathers? Abram, Isaac, Jacob, who became known as Israel. It is that oath which he swore unto the fathers that the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God. An oath that he makes will never be broken. It will be fulfilled, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him face to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day, and to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb, the fruit of thy land, thy corn and thy wine and thine oil, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And that is the miracle of Israel. God has a purpose with Israel. And that purpose is to restore Israel to a former glory, the kingdom of God on earth. What a beautiful picture, which alas the Christendom doesn't see. They've virtually written the end chapter for Israel. They rejected Christ. They have no hope. But there is an end chapter to be written. Amos chapter 3 and verse 2, God said, "You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities." Israel has not gone without punishment for their iniquities, for their rebellion against God. But hath God cast away his people, which he foreknew? No. No. Go to Romans chapter 11 again. Romans chapter 11 and verse 25. "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness is in part happened to Israel. But it's only until the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved." Verse 2 of this chapter, Paul says, "God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew." What can you make of that? Can you say God has cast away his people which he foreknew? Because that's what Christendom has done. They've gone and changed the words. They've gone and changed the context of what the scriptures say. It should be in bold print, shouldn't it? Well, it is in a sense, because we understand the mystery. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. What he not, what the scripture says of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, "Lord, they've killed thy prophets, they've digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto you? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. These are not idolatrous. Even so, then, at this present time also, there is a remnant." So it's not all Israel that's going to be saved. But there is a remnant according to the election of grace. "And if by grace, then, is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work." Indeed, there is a remnant that will be saved. Those who have not gone the way of the world, not to idolatry. There are those that are not high-minded, but fear God. Go to the prophet, Prophet Jeremiah. And chapter 30. Begin at verse 7. "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break the yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Not the former king of Israel, but the future king of Israel, David's descendant, the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob. Jacob became Israel, saith the Lord. Neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar. And though they are scattered throughout the world, thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob, Israel, shall return to the land, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. Why? With all the nations of the world against the Jews, who want to see even today their annihilation from the Arab, why shouldn't he be afraid? Because the following verse says, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure, the severity of God for their iniquities. But I will not leave thee altogether unpunished. For thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. All thy lovers have forsaken thee, forgotten thee. They seek thee not. For I wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. I have done these things unto thee. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured. If God is with Israel, the nations have no hope. All thine adversaries, every one of them shall go into captivity, and they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. For I, God, will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they call thee an outcast, Israel, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places. And the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. All that have oppressed the Jews will be destroyed. All these words have told us is the future restoration of Israel. Can Christendom deny these words? Why do they change the context of Scripture? Time and time again, Israel was warned that they, if they disobeyed God, they would suffer the consequences, and they have. But God has not cast away his own people. For the Father's sakes, to establish the oath to the fathers. It is through Israel that the promises will be made. Turn to Jeremiah 32 and verse 42. We begin at 37. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries of the world, whither I have driven them in mine anger, and in my fury, and in great wrath. And I will bring them again unto this place, Jerusalem, Zion. We're all aware of the Zionist movement in Israel. And I will cause them no longer in fear of the nations around them. I will cause them to dwell safely. And they shall be my people. They've been no other. They've always been God's people. Hence the name Israel. And I will be their God. They will worship God as he should have been worshipped. And I will give them one heart. No more a rebellious heart. And one way, the one true way, that they may fear me forever. Fear there is reverence. For the good of them and of their children after them. Who can doubt it? And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land, assuredly with my whole heart and my whole soul. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. And fields shall be bought in this land whereof you say it is desolate without man or beast. It is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Men shall buy fields for money and subscribe evidences and seal them and take witnesses in the land of Benjamin and in the places about Jerusalem and in the cities of Judah and in the cities of the mountains and in the cities of the valley and in the cities of the south. For I will cause their captivity to return, saith the Lord. Where? Where will they return? We've had a list of places where they will return. Jerusalem, Judah, the mountains of Judah, the mountains of Israel, the valley and cities of the valley in Israel. Who can deny that the hope of Israel no longer exists? The good promise to them. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 14. Again, prophetic. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel, unto the house of Judah. You do not read into that anything other than Israel. You don't read into that the nations of the Arabs, or the Americas, or the Asians. No. You can only read what is there. Israel. I will perform that good thing I have promised to Israel. In those days, and at that time, will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, David's descendant, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. There'll be no barriers. There'll be no tanks on the borders. They will dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. They shall fear God. Verse 21 of Ezekiel 37. and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, the nations whither they have been gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land, upon the mountains of Arabia, America. Because that's what Christendom teaches. All the faiths have a special place. But it is clear from the gospel, from the word of God, it is the land upon the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king to them all. And they shall be no more two nations, no longer Judah, two tribes, and Israel, 10 tribes. They shall no longer be two nations. Neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. And David, my servant, shall be king over them. And they shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments, observe my statutes, and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, one of the ascendants, one of the fathers. Their father was Jacob, my servant, wherein ye fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. There's no denying the connection when Jesus said, salvation is of the Jews. Here is the evidence of Scripture. The restoration of Israel is part of God's divine scheme. And it is an essential part of the gospel to be understood. The sooner Christendom learns this fact, the better. Alas, very few receive it. It's still a mystery to them. But soon we shall see Israel in a far greater, a far more powerful and renowned nation among the nations of this world. Isaiah chapter 60. In verse 3, And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Verse 10, And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. We're talking about Israel here, in the first position, no longer a byword, no longer persecuted or trodden upon, but as the first nation. Nations of the world will come because you're a Jew. Surely the isles shall wait for me, the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far. This is Israel coming back to the land. Their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. And the sons of strangers shall build up the walls. Verse 11, Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. They're not at the moment. Border control. But then the gate shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Verse 14. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee. All they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet. And they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Can you picture that? You can't see it today. But when Christ comes, wow, is there going to be a change? Indeed, the restoration of Israel is a part of the divine scheme. The evidence of Scripture shows, as we have seen today, just by going to a few verses, that the things constituted in the hope of Israel, that the Jews are God's chosen people, that cannot be undone. That God's promises are essentially Israelitish. That the Jews are currently scattered throughout the world only as a result of their disobedience to God and His commandments. But it is evident from Scripture that they will be regathered and restored to the land of Palestine. That all enemies of Israel, if they do not comply, are to be destroyed. It also shows that the remnant of the nations will serve the restored kingdom of Israel and to attend Jerusalem periodically. The hope of Israel then to all the Gentiles, if we go back to Galatians as our last quotation, although I read the last verse of Galatians chapter 3, there's something that we need to read before it. Verse 24. Read verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, the Jews, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed through the gospel. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, Christ did away with the law. After Christ came, and faith came by hearing the word of the gospel, we are no longer under that schoolmaster. For we are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if he be Christ's, so what is the association with Israel? Christ. Why? Because then you become part of the hope of Israel. Then are ye counted as Abraham's seed. And what else? You become fellow heirs, according to the promise that God made unto the fathers. The hope of Israel is the blueprint of every individual's hope who is awaiting Christ's return and the establishment of the kingdom of God. Alas, Christendom do not see this. It is absolutely essential to understand this element of the gospel. And with this knowledge, it is necessary to become related to the hope of Israel, for salvation is of the Jews, and we too shall become heirs according to the promises.